Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What have you heard, and how do you think people should be talking about this situation? Because my entire take has been, I don't think Aaron knows exactly what he wants, and are all the options already shown to him that it's going to be, you know, throughout it all? Is he waiting until the draft to see who does what with a quarterback? Like, what are your thoughts on it, AJ, as somebody who we all know is a close friend of Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, the waiting until the draft, I haven't really thought about that. I cannot imagine that would be the case. Like, what would that do for him? Right now it looks like, what, Pittsburgh is an option and the Vikings are possibly an option? Mm-hmm. Is that what's out there? Is that what it feels like?
Yes, that is kind of what and retirement, obviously. So retirement, Pittsburgh, and then the Vikings haven't said no.
That's right.
Yeah, they didn't close the door completely. That's the thing. Yeah, like, you had the opportunity to close the door completely, publicly at least, if you were the Vikings and you did not. So what does that tell you? I don't know if that means there's a possibility that the Vikings would want to bring him in or not, but it means there's got to be some kind of chance of that, correct?
Yeah, I would say that's probably why people are saying it publicly. Yeah, I would say there's some chance.
What's Aaron?
And what, he visited Pitt? He visited Pittsburgh and probably loved it? Yeah, I do know that he actually really likes all the Pittsburgh staff. He loves the staff, the front office, everything about Pittsburgh. Yeah, the people there. That's what makes the Steelers, don't you think? Like, what they, from the top down. I think he definitely loves all them.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I got Malzy sick, so he's out today. Live at beautiful Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet. AJ Hawk on with McAfee. AJ Hawk in the Aaron Rodgers inner circle saying Aaron Rodgers loves everything about Pittsburgh. And yet a week after his visit, this was around the time he left the facility last Friday, still unsigned. And what do you know? Another member of the McAfee troop, the McAfee Whack Pack, joins us right now. Mark Cabali, Steelers insider for the Pat McAfee Show. Mark, did you hear the same thing, that Rodgers was just smitten by everybody inside that Steelers facility last week?
How can't you be, Pony? I mean, we're talking about Pittsburgh, PA. You get about 13 days of sun, so he had a sunny day out there. But, yeah, you know, you get into that facility, and it's not more or less about the paint on the wall and the pictures on the wall, but the people there. And Mike Tomlin's very good at what he does and being able to talk and woo people and make them feel comfortable.
And kiss Fanny.
Arthur Smith as well. So, it's no surprise whatsoever. I mean, Omar is a very personable guy, too, when you get to know him. So he probably walked in there and felt as home as can possibly be. And if that's the case, then you say, what are you waiting for, right?
Right, so. And that's exactly what I was going to ask you next. What is your best guess as to why we still don't have a deal with Aaron Rodgers?
The only thing I can think of is one thing. He's Aaron Rodgers. That's it. I mean, you can't really get into that mind and try to figure it out. He, moves to the beat of his own drum. Anybody else would have made this decision weeks ago, right? But that's just not how he operates. And it might sound like a boring answer or a canned answer or whatever, but he's just not your normal human being, and not a guy that's, you know, there's a four-time MVP, 41-year-old, doesn't really need football anymore, does obviously some interesting stuff outside of football. He just moves at the pace of his own heartbeat, man. And that's the only thing I could say. I mean, there is no real plausible explanation of he has not said one way or another. He has to know deep down inside that what he wants to do is just a matter of if it is Pittsburgh, then why would you wait? Is what I'm saying. Is he waiting for something better to come along? He has to know. He has to know. So that's the way I put it. It's just a matter of this is just how he goes about his business. That's the only explanation I have.
Mark, do you think that worries the Steelers? Like the longer this goes, even after that, you don't think so? Like you still think that they would feel good about him signing here despite him not wanting to put his John Hancock, his Herbie Hancock on a piece of paper?
Herbie. There's not too many people probably still get that reference, right? The Herbie Hancock.
I forget who it was here. I think it was Joel Nelson, who's never seen Tommy Boy before.
Oh, my goodness.
These young dude's never seen anything.
That's almost as bad as Harry Callis not knowing that Michael Jordan played at North Carolina. He thought he played at Duke.
Close. Same state. Not that far away.
Right.
That's what makes Harry lovable. Lovable Harry. But
that he has the IQ of a squirrel? That's what makes people like him? His depth of sports knowledge is the same as like the deer that you saw like eating grass on your neighbor's front lawn. That's what makes him lovable.
No, some people don't know if he goes to North Carolina and Duke. Some people don't watch Tommy Boy. And like yourself, you probably watch like Southern Illinois versus Western Michigan field hockey if you have some time, right?
I don't branch out into those kind of sports, but for the most part, you're right. Like last night, I was up until 1 a.m. watching those college basketball games. What was that noise?
That's my email.
Oh. Okay, so you said you don't think like they're like, man, the longer this goes,
No.
I don't know, because human nature is if you put the full court press on somebody and you really make a hard sell and they don't give you an answer, it's like you come to the car dealership here and someone leaves and says, oh, thank you, I'm going to go home and think about it. Chances are they're not going to come back and buy the car, Mark.
Yeah, but the once again, these are normal people. Well, you're not dealing with a normal person here. So I don't think they know. I mean, I don't think you can put pressure on a guy like Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, we need this done by X, Y, or Z. Because he's just going to go. He's going to do his own time frame here, right there. Maybe it works with some other people right now. But I don't think they're quite worried about it. I mean, worst comes to worst, what? They don't sign him. He signs somewhere else. They go with Mason Rudolph for a year and start this whole cycle over again.
Go back to what McAfee, or was it maybe it was Hawk who threw this out there? I forget. Just
AJ knows.
AJ knows what he's actually doing. You think, and he's just playing hard to get.
I think AJ knows. That's just a personal opinion of mine. AJ got a lot of information, I think.
AJ Hawk threw out again the big night out idea. So did Tone of it happening on April 9th.
Tone is Yinzer living in Indianapolis. So anything that anybody says here in Pittsburgh, he is his beliefs as well. So
okay.
He pretty much denied that, McAfee, but what is he going to say?
The idea that he would wait to see – that Rodgers would wait to see how the draft went before making his decision. Like would the Steelers, as Tomlin likes to say, would they leave the light on for him on draft night if they still don't have a decision? Or would they draft at that point thinking, well, we can't count on him here, so let's act like we only have Mason Rudolph and Skylar Thompson in our quarterback room and draft accordingly.
I don't think anything that Aaron Rodgers does and will dictate what they do in the draft. I mean, it's not like you're talking about a 28-year-old guy here. We're talking about a 41-year-old guy who has 1 year left in him at max, right? So you're going to need somebody regardless. So if somebody falls to them, they get an opportunity to move up and find somebody or whatever it is. I don't think they make that move saying, well, Aaron Rodgers might come back or might not want to come back. Regardless, if you pick a quarterback in the first round, which I find highly, highly unlikely, he needs time, man. You can't throw him in like Kenny Pickett. I mean, they did Kenny pretty dirty there by not giving him anything but third team snaps, then throwing him in the mix week four, week five. You're not going to succeed that way. They didn't do it with Mason as well. So hopefully they would learn from that and give a guy an opportunity to be able to grow. But I don't think they go in thinking, we have Aaron Rodgers. We can't make a decision because Aaron Rodgers has not yet to. If they're drafting, if they have to draft, say, Jackson Dart, whatever, and it's going to alienate Aaron Rodgers, and so be it, right? I think that's their feeling.
No, but would you want to get off to that kind of start with Rodgers? Like, yeah, you're our guy, even though it's only for a year. No, by the way, we're going to recreate like the Jordan Love situation that pissed you off so much in Green Bay.
Well, that Jordan Love situation, he was coming off probably an MVP season, wasn't he?
It actually sparked two MVP seasons out of Rodgers.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're talking about a 35-year-old Rodgers.
Compared to 41, going on 42.
Yeah, so I think he realizes that if this isn't the end, it's very darn close to the end.
Let's dive into the Jackson Dart stuff then. So the Steelers either leaked it to DeFabo or DeFabo got it from somebody else that he's going to be here next month. Weidel was at the Jackson Dart Pro Day today. You just said you still think it's highly unlikely that they would take a quarterback with the 21st pick. But, I mean, where else would they get Jackson Dart in this draft? Because he ain't lasting until the third round unless he commits some kind of heinous crime between now and the draft.
Well, they'd have to move up. I still believe Jackson Dart's going to end up being the top 10 or top 15 pick. I mean, once you get to the draft and a couple quarterbacks go and you get a lot of quarterback potentially needy teams, and you see what the Falcons did last year, grabbing Penix even though they had Kirk Cousins, I find it hard to believe, especially with all the chatter around Jackson Dart right now, that he would even come close to 21. You're going to have to go up and get him. And I don't know if you have that draft capital.
So wait a minute. I agree. So at this point, though, would you almost feel like it's a bargain or a value if he fell to 21 and they picked him there based on that?
I would. You know, at that point, if he falls to 21, I don't have to do anything crazy to get him. Just pick him at 21. I would think so. I would give it a whirl. I mean, it was the worst thing.
Oh my God! I can't wait to clip this for Starkey. I would give it a whirl.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying he's going to be a star, but if he follows you at 21, absolutely. I mean, even if he does fall,
I thought you were adamantly against taking him in the first round, which got you in trouble with Starkey in the first place.
I don't think he's a guy that's going to be able to be. He's not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback or anything to that ilk, but it doesn't mean that they wouldn't take him at 21 if he falls there. I mean, the worst comes worst, they get the 21 and he's there. You could move back three or four spots and be able to maybe potentially jump up into the second round. So there's a lot of options right there, but I don't think Jackson Dart's a guy that I would want to at least invest. You'd have to invest what? If you're picking him at 21, you have to invest a good 3 years into him, right? I don't know if you're willing to do that. I don't know if they should do that, especially
Does he strike you as a guy that's like Mike Tomlin's type? And what you've learned about him or what you've heard about him or like the research, anything that you've done on Dart for your job, does he strike you as a Mike Tomlin type?
Well, the Mike Tomlin type in the draft are typically younger guys who are at high – Power Five conferences, more like Big Ten type of guys. I don't know about quarterback wise, so I don't know. I really never really talked to Jackson Dart to be able to get a feeling from him, but I just look at the small sample size of what Dart was over to do over his college career, and I think that's just you're just drafting on ultimate potential more than what you see on the field. I don't think the handful of games that he was spectacular, he was obviously spectacular, but there was a lot more of the other games where it was a little iffy that I don't know. I don't know. Another thing, Pony, should we actually be listening to what Mike Tomlin thinks about drafting quarterbacks.
No, we should not. We should not.
History of that.
Yes, but he's still going to make the ultimate call. Texas on the Edgar Steiner Associates fan text line. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. The Kabali Hour, the Steelers have made a move. They've made a signing. We'll tell you what it is when we come back. First, a headline. Time is 4:15. Get your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. We're at the beautiful Studio B, Bowser Chevy. Crystal clear sound here from Bowser. Mark Kabali, Steelers insider, Pat McAfee show. We have breaking news. The Steelers have announced they've signed Jeremiah Moon to a one-year deal. Mark, you're in that locker room and around the team constantly. You must know something about Jeremiah Moon that others don't know.
You're very good at that, huh, Pony?
What?
Breaking news, the old tease, the comeback, just for a Jeremiah Moon update.
Do you have anything on Jeremiah Moon? Like, is he into dogs? Does he own, like, a
I probably never truck? Talked to him.
No?
I was more of an Abe and Ike guy from last year than the Jeremiah Moon.
How about Jackie Moon? Did you like him?
I don't know who Jackie Moon is.
That's Will Ferrell in the semi-pro movie. Never seen it?
I never watched it.
Okay.
I'm very close to you, Pony, of not watching a lot of movies. Like, I've never watched Godfathers and stuff like that. So I'm very in that same category.
I've seen those, though.
Yeah. What about A Bronx Tale? A Bronx Tale is a very good movie. You
like Bronx it a
Tale
lot. Guy? Yes, I do. It's not a rewatchable movie for me. Like, if I see it on, I'm not someone that goes and seeks it out, but I liked it and I'll watch it, but I'm not like craving it, I guess is what I mean.
Now you can't leave.
Why? Did you like it, Charlie? Oh, you got to be a Bronx Tale guy.
I did like A Bronx Tale, but I'm not getting over the not having seen The Godfather.
Well, Mueller hasn't seen it either. So in that respect, him and Kabali actually see eye on something finally. Yep.
That surprises me.
Yeah.
But Bronx Tale, good movie.
What, me and Mueller don't see eye to eye?
Not usually. He's just disagreeable on just about everything, and I got him sick, so he's probably upset at me.
He enjoys arguing. I could say it's sunny outside, and he'd be saying it's partly cloudy, so.
Mark, where do you think is the sweet spot in the draft for the Steelers to take a quarterback? Is it with that third-round pick?
My sweet spot would be nowhere, but it would be third day. I mean,
so if you were to get inside their brains, you think third day would be where they're thinking right now?
I would hope so. You're just, in my opinion, if you're not getting those top couple guys, you're just spinning your wheels. You're wasting a draft pick that you don't have a lot of this year to be able to improve your team. And let's look at their train of thought right now. They're going to bring Aaron Rodgers in. They added Metcalf. They think that they're darn close to being able to compete for an AFC North title. Saying that, you need to the old Big Ben Mason Rudolph line. You wish you would have got somebody to help him this year. I mean, there's a couple positions can help you this year. So I would much rather, if that's your theory, if you're going to win this year, I don't want to get a guy who may be your backup quarterback in 2029. And that's even now, if it's Will Howard, I don't think they like Will Howard. I mean, just things you hear from over the months. But I mean, that was before the college football playoffs. So that could have changed because he did have a fabulous stretch there. So
now I heard a rumor about Will Howard. I don't think I've shared this on the air before. So I'm going to actually say something about Will Howard, and I want Mark Kabali to either confirm or deny this, okay? Maybe you know where I'm going with this. I've heard that maybe the person who has the most say in the draft has been very vocal about how he's not a big fan of Will Howard. Is that true?
Yeah, you've heard it before in a locker room, maybe. Oops.
Okay.
Did we give away our clue?
I'm just saying, I've heard that there's a person at the very top of the Steelers organization who's not been shy about his disdain of Will Howard.
But he could be just tweaking a person who also went to the same college as him, too. Mm. So it's hard to get a read on that.
Gotcha. I think I've okay, so we're on the same page there. Now, you speaking of tweaking, you seem to be going at another Steelers insider, Nick Faribault.
Oh, I love Twitter. Messing with him.
So he wants to connect the dots and say, look, the Steelers are really doing their due diligence on quarterbacks. Look at the places they're sending their, you know, Tomlin, Omar Khan, and the gang. Look at the people they're looking at. Look at the people they're having dinner with. And you poo-pooed that. Now, were you just doing that to mess with Nick, or do you actually believe that he's reading too much into the way they're evaluating these quarterbacks at pro days?
No, way looking too much into this. I mean, these are big time power conference schools that has multiple players available, and that's the guys, that's the colleges that Tomlin, Omar like to go to. I mean, they haven't been to Texas for a while, because Texas hasn't been very good in a while. Obviously, that's changed this year. Notre Dame, they've went there from time to time. They always go to Georgia. They always go to Alabama. They 99% go to Ohio State. That's the best for be able to grab a bunch of people and be able to evaluate and put your eyes on them. It's not like the Kenny Pickett year when they went out of their way to go to Liberty, Old Miss, Cincinnati, went to Pitts Pro Day. Who am I missing there? There's another one in there, the top five, I believe. That's, you could very well tell that there was something different there, that they were definitely focusing quarterback. This is what they were looking at. And they're going to power conferences right now to see a number of players. So it might end up working out that way, but I don't think that they're targeting these schools just because of quarterbacks.
What Cowherd said about Jalen Milroe when Mark Caballi saw it, what was his reaction to it?
Colin Cowherd knows how to get Steeler fans riled up, huh? He tends to do that from time to time. I mean, I've been on Cowherd's show a couple of times, and very nice gentleman, but I don't even think he would believe that, right? First round pick? Is that what he said?
Yeah. He said it could be a Cousins Pinnock situation where they sign Aaron Rodgers and they still draft Jalen Milroe with the 21st pick, and said there are people inside the Steelers organization who love Milroe.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure there's people inside the organization that love him. Might be, you know, the guy at the front desk, the head of the security guy. I mean, who are we talking about here? But no, I just don't see that happening. If you would have said third round, second day, something like that, that's more believable. But I'm not thinking 21st overall pick here. I mean, Michael Penix, we're talking about a different breed there. That's a guy that was going to be top 15 or 20 regardless. We're not talking about a guy that's being projected as a second day pick at the earliest. So,
Mark, does Tomlin really have an obsession with mobile quarterbacks, or does he just say things like that at press conferences and we take it as gospel and then we blow it out of proportion? Because he gushes on and on about guys who can run, and right now his quarterback room is Mason Rudolph and possibly a guy that's going to be the oldest player in the league. So does he really like the mobile quarterback or not?
Well, he's also told us he tells us lies on purpose.
That's why I'm asking you that question right now. Exactly.
I don't know if he clarified it, but I know Art Rooney and Omar's clarified the point is that he better be able to throw the ball too. But I guess in the ultimate situation, you would love to have a guy, you know, like Jalen Hurts. I guess they could have had him if they wanted him, but I don't think that I don't think he would choose, even though he loves to have a mobile quarterback, I don't think you choose a running quarterback over a guy that can't throw, because then pretty much you had Justin Fields and you could have just stayed with him if that's what you wanted. So I think there has to be a happy medium. And when we talk about mobile quarterbacks, we're thinking of the ultimate ones, the ones that can really get out, and the Lamar Jacksons of the world. I don't think that's 100% what he means. He just doesn't want a guy that's an absolute statue back there, which, I mean, I don't think Rodgers was really a statue. He's still able to get out of the pocket in a lot of plays I saw He's not going to gain many yards, but he can still move. That might be considered a mobile quarterback in his eyes. But I tend to not listen to the minutia because it changes from him from time to time.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, SouthHillsKia.net. Mark keeps hinting at the Steelers using a first-round pick on a position that would drive everybody nuts. We'll see if he still feels that way when we come back. But first, a headline from Charlie. Here's a question that comes in from a listener to Mark Cabali, Steelers insider of the Pat McAfee Show, that says, Mark, if I would have told you back in early March that the Steelers could have signed Russell Wilson for 1 year, $10.5 million, do you think the Steelers would you have thought the Steelers would make that deal?
Yeah. I thought that probably it might turn out to be the best deal that they could have had at that point. I still think Russell would have been valuable here with some more weapons put around him, a better offensive line.
You called him a scapegoat.
I called him a scapegoat of how that season ended. When you think of the 2024 season, you're thinking two things. They lost five in a row to end the season, and Russell Wilson was the reason why. And I just don't think Russell Wilson was the main reason why. But he's going to be.
Well, what was the main reason why then? Not to relitigate things that happened in January.
How much time do we have?
We've got about 10 minutes this segment, so take all the time you need here.
Well, you didn't have. At one point, you had Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, and Scotty Miller's your wide receivers. He had an offensive line that just hit a brick wall. You had a feuding quarterback and offensive coordinator and a defensive front seven that was allowing about 200 yards per game and a part of the defense calling out part of the other defense and moaning and bickering at each other during practices. I mean, there was a lot going on there that was not Russell Wilson related. So that's why I think there was a scapegoat, because it's easy to say, boy, Russell stinks and this is the reason why. But there was a ton of things going wrong that last month of the season of why it turned out the way it did.
I was surprised based on how much you supported him and defended him throughout those trials and tribulations that when the Giants contract got signed, you didn't come out and immediately say, hey, this is a mistake by the Steelers. If you could have brought back Russell Wilson for $10.5 million, sign me up for that, because he's going to give you way more than $10.5 million worth of production. I was surprised you didn't bang the table for that, Mark.
I did a little banging of the table, but at that point, I don't know how deep the inside drama went. I just know there was some. It must have gotten to a point that's only, I mean, it's just only what you believe because of how they weren't very that much interested in him, that it was a little bit deeper than maybe it was put on to be. So considering that, was he a better option? Yeah. But in the long term of things, if you're just going to have the offensive coordinator and the quarterback button heads constantly, we've seen that from the majority of the last 10 to 15 years with quarterbacks and offensive coordinators. And I just don't think you need that at this point.
What the hell do they think they're getting into with Aaron Rodgers?
It's something different. You don't know, right? You think you know, but you don't know. I mean, we like to sit here and criticize the heck out of Aaron Rodgers for throwing teammates under the bus, but nobody can pretty much tell me any of the teammates he threw under the bus other than Mike Williams. That one time where he said he ran wrong route. So,
I mean, how much Garrett Wilson last year basically froze him out of the offense to the point where people that covered the Jets were like, yeah, if Aaron Rodgers is back here, Garrett Wilson's going to ask for a trade.
Well, that's different than calling him out in public. I mean, that's stuff that would at least kept behind closed doors if that's what occurred. There might have been something in Green Bay that was mentioned once about, who was Amari, whatever his name is, Rodgers, the other Rodgers, that he might have said something. But I don't think, I think there's a belief of what he is just from what he says, his off-season life, his off-season retreats, that people think that he's a different type of teammate than he is. So what I'm saying is I think it's a different look. So why not give it a different look? That's
fair enough. I mean, the one thing that people seem to universally agree on is that wherever he goes, he basically gets his way as far as what the offense is. And so if you don't agree with that?
Well, he's a four-time MVP. You probably should listen to him. That's probably one of the reasons why you want to bring him in here, because he pretty much knows what he's doing, right?
Well, they didn't want to listen to Bennis last year here. They had a tug-of-war with him the entire time, where the damn offensive coordinator, who knows less about football than your son who clogs up every toilet, wouldn't give him a right to audible and change plays.
You're right. I mean, if people talked about how Ben had a terrible final year and he was done. He had a great fourth quarter of every game that year when he just said, screw you, Matt.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, man. So, you know, this whole idea that they should listen to him, agree. But will they? Their history lately says they won't. And they're going to try to do things their way, which I think is going to lead to a lot more headbutting. Who's the all-time great headbutter in pro wrestling history, Mark? That's a good one for you. Who's a guy that was famous for a big headbutt?
Oh, this is where you need somebody like Donnie
Charlie?
Football.
Who was you got a headbutt guy for me?
I mean, I do, but I don't know if Cabali's allowed to talk about him. It's a flying headbutt. Chris Benoit.
Oh.
How about Bam Bam Bigelow?
Asbury Park native. Asbury Park legend. Beast of the East.
You remember him?
Maybe one of the Moondogs.
He had those tattooed flames on his head, Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah. I saw an AI of a bunch of wrestlers that passed away and what they would look like now, and Bam Bam Bigelow was number one on the list.
Did he slim down? Did he go on the Ozempic plan?
What's that? No, he went on the dead plan. What are you talking about?
I thought you said it was AI and they like made them look like today, so I was asking if he had lost weight.
They made it look like what they would look like today. They're all passed away, all the wrestlers. So they made him just age, sort of like how, you know, the Aaron Rodgers when he's using a walker with the Steelers shirt on.
So we had DeFable on to talk about this Jackson Dart scoop. And I gave him a hypothetical where the big defensive line prospects the Steelers like were off the board. And they were down to two guys that were still there were Jackson Dart at 21 and Ashton Jeanty at 21. And in that situation, Mike said he thought the Steelers would take Jeanty and that they would take a running back in the 20s like they did with Najee Harris. You've said repeatedly that you think for running back is on the board for the Steelers in the first round. So I'm guessing you would think if they would look at it like an all-time score if they were able to get the best running back in the draft with the 21st pick. No? Yes?
I think it would be a good pick. I mean, if Jeanty is, I think, by far and away the best prospect in this draft, and he's a
but
guy.
But they look at it that way. You're saying
I think they would. If they're sure, it doesn't even matter if Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't really matter, I don't think. So I think if both of them would be on the board, now I'm just contradicting myself from earlier about the Jackson Dart at 21, but if Jeanty is there at 21, if one position in the NFL draft that you can plug and play, it's wide receiver. I mean, it's running back. You can get value out of him almost immediately, especially when you got the Jalen Warren and he had some injuries and Kenneth Gainwell's never had 80 carries, more than 80 carries in a year. Both were on 1 year deals. So this guy can come in. Was he more of a two down back than a three down back? A little bit smaller, not a great, obviously come from a small school. And that's where you have to watch it. I don't believe, and you got that crazy memory under Tomlin. When was the last time they drafted a non power five conference player in the first pick, in the first round?
Under Tomlin?
Oh, I don't think they have under
Tomlin. It's never happened.
It hasn't. You got to go back to Troy Edwards.
From Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, you might have to go all the way back there. They tend to take the big-time schools with that first round. Because I remember, what was his name, Leighton Vander Esch. He was very similar. They needed an inside linebacker at the time, and they end up passing on him. They passed on him, I believe. because he was a smaller school quarterback. So, I mean, you put that in the equation, then no. I mean, I could see this is something that's happened from years after year after year. They just don't take non-Power 5 conference guys in the first round. But I'd take him.
Well, Dulac, I guess, in an interview said that he thinks that they could even – they do that, then they're going to have Jaylen Warren as a $5 million backup running back, which is crazy to me. That's a lot of money for someone to be your insurance policy running back.
At that point, you really didn't have much of a choice. You had to have somebody under contract. That's why I hate me. I would do free agency and the draft, flip them around so you wouldn't have to deal with situations like this. So you had to have somebody under the roof, and he was the cheaper of the two options of him and Najee. So I understand why they did that.
All right, Mark. Great talk. Hawk Tua is trending again on Twitter. Do you know what that means?
Yes. I think they're not investigating her for her fake Bitcoins or whatever, right?
Oh, she's off the hook?
That's why I just really – saw something pop up, no pun intended, on the tweeter machine.
Also, a little birdie told me that you double dipped with wings on Friday last
double
week. That you
it might have been triple. It might have been triple dip, man.
That's why. You went to Archie's with Crowley, ate wings, and then showed up at Mike's with me and ate more wings.
Yeah, that's the problem. I was just stuffed. I didn't want to eat them, but then I felt bad that you had these fancy-looking wings over at Mike's. I'm thinking, oh, he had to get wings. I'm like, oh. I mean, Arch just kept piling them on me, so, man, I'm still tasting
Well, you never even mentioned that to me. If you had said I was just at Archie's eating wings, I would have said, okay, great. But it was almost like you purposefully – withheld that information that you were with Crowley because you like almost didn't want me to know that you were hanging out with Adam is how I interpreted that.
I told everybody down there I was going to Mike's and you were there. Did you notice I only ate like two wings? Didn't that like be weird to you? Wasn't that like what? Why is he only eating two wings?
Yeah, I did think that was weird.
Okay, there
but
you go.
Whatever. All right, Mark, you're off next week because we'll have Pirates and Yankees. You got to love those Buccos off to a blistering hot start here in 2025.
85 wins, baby. I moved them down to 68 wins now.
Mackey came on with me yesterday and said he denied predicting 85 wins. Oh, I thought for sure he said that with you and me.
Yes, and we just laughed at him, didn't we?
Correct.
On the pump
we did.
Show.
We did, yes.
Yeah, and Zangrilli just predicted 84 or something like that. I'm like, what am I missing here?
I went 71. So you and me are more closely aligned on that.
Skeen's on the McAfee show, giving up, showing some personality. I like it.
I got to go back and watch that. All right, Mark. Thanks, man. We'll talk again soon. By the time we talk, hopefully Aaron Rodgers will be here. Goodbye. All right, coming up next, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, what Adam Schefter just said about Rodgers' future. I have a simple question. Are you sick of this guy yet? 412-928-9370. Plus open phone Friday next hour. We're not going anywhere. We're live from beautiful Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. Right now, a message from